Well, hello, folks. Mark DiMatteo coming at you all with a brand new message going out to our great questions group, of course. This is actually message number 31. The title of it is The Paradox of Power. Okay, The Paradox of Power. Subtitle could be All Power is Not Equal. Okay, and as always, trust this finds each of you doing well. Quick update, group keeps growing. Keep reaching out to more folks that are interested in this topic. Now have actually over 750 friends that are part of my personal email group, actually close to 760 I just checked, which is pretty cool. So if this is your first official message that you've received via broadcast, want to say welcome, pleased to have you with us, trust you'll benefit and be encouraged by these messages. Also, as always, just a little reminder that my previous audios are on my website or my blog, markdematteo.com, markdematteo.com. They're in chronological order. These are chronological messages, and it makes a whole lot more sense if you kind of know where we've come from and how we've gotten to where we're at. And also just a little reminder too, I have set up a little Twitter account. I'm not really promoting it that much, but I will eventually be using it. And the details are at the bottom of the email also. Okay? But anyway, let's get rolling here because I'm excited about talking to you about, I'm really excited about this, what we're kind of going to start getting into right now. And so let me kind of follow my notes here. And let me just start off by saying, folks, probably all of us have experienced a time in our lives when we have had our brains stretched. And that is a cool thing. A time when we have been through what we often refer to as a paradigm shift. A moment when we perhaps were exposed to something or learned something that dramatically altered the way we previously perceived or understood, say, a given set of principles or parameters, perhaps an environment, or even maybe an overall reality, which is what we're going to be talking about here. In most instances, we will emerge as changed people on the other side of such an experience. And folks, while I must say that in many ways, this entire Great Questions quest seemed as if it was, for me, essentially, one continuously unfolding paradigm shift, there were yet definite moments when the facts and realities being illuminated before me caused my, quote, shifts to be most pronounced and significant, okay? So with this in mind, it's about one of these particular moments that I want to begin to share with you in this message. And folks, it centers on the reality that, on a reality that became increasingly apparent to me through my study of the atom, and it gradually began to open up insights into some potential answers to the fourth or the final great question, which is, where am I going? That I began to realize were both amazing and yet surprisingly possible. Okay? And folks, this awareness focuses on the reality of one thing in particular, and that is power, okay? Which, of course, keys in on the title. Most of us, perhaps, do not fully appreciate just how important operational power is. Initially, I know I didn't. However, my studies up to this point had taught me that literally nothing that presently exists in the cosmos could continue to exist without it. For as we have already learned, even matter itself at the atomic level is essentially a physical manifestation of an astounding degree of ordered operational power. Okay, and I'm sure most of us that have been following along have that down pat now, but it's still an amazing reality. In fact, it is extraordinary to consider that other than the space and time components of our overall universe, cosmos, everything else in our tangible universe is, at its fundamental level, some type of physical manifestation of power. Yet, there seems to be a surprising and unexpected inconsistency in regard to exactly how all this vast power operates. And as we consider the nature of this reality, we are faced with still another puzzling yet fascinating paradox. And here it is. Folks, there is a vast difference between the virtually limitless and seemingly perpetual power literally sustaining the cosmos and everything in it, and the comparatively weak and universally degrading power which is actually operating within it. This is an amazing reality to even briefly stop and consider. And that is what we're going to do, okay? For on one hand, we have the fundamental building blocks of the physical cosmos, the atom, operating on an enormous, seemingly perpetual level of power, which is unmatched anywhere else in the universe. Yet on the other, everything made up of those atoms, in dramatic contrast, functions at an overall level of power which is surprisingly small by comparison. And this is strange. Why should there be so much power operating at the fundamental level of the cosmos, and yet relative weakness, quote, built on top of it or built out of it, okay? And why, on the one hand, should the atom continue to, quote, run without ever needing to be, quote, refueled, and certainly we've discussed that, while on the other, everything actually made from them that, quote, runs or operates or functions in the world must be, or in the universe, in the cosmos for that matter, stars, whatever, everything must that is made out of the atoms must be constantly refueled, recharged, fed, wound up, etc. This seems to make no logical sense. Why should there be this dramatic contrast? Furthermore, on one hand, with few exceptions and only under normally extreme conditions, atoms in general do not change. Surprisingly, they do not seem to, quote, get old or wear out, for rather they tend to stay the same. And I know there's some exceptions to this, radioactive decay and things like that, but let's just, again, I'm trying to keep this simple and general. Pretty much, atoms don't change. That's why the stuff around us doesn't change, except, like I said, it breaks down. The basic components of the atoms stay the same. In fact, getting back to my notes here, it almost seems as if they are somewhat impervious to, or we might also say resistant to, the second law, which, as you know, is the law of decay. For it does not seem to affect them to a substantial degree individually. Interestingly, this law of decay only seems to have a pronounced effect on any organized matter constructed out of atoms, okay? For as we've already discussed and know all too well through personal experience, this universal second law most certainly does affect the real world we live in, and everything around us is continually running down, wearing out, and dying. So, we have this puzzling paradox, another puzzling paradox. And logically, the only conclusion that seems apparent from these facts is that there are, in actuality, folks, two fundamentally different orders of power operating in the cosmos. The first is of a nature that is seemingly inconceivable in magnitude. It's enormous, limitless in supply, perpetual in duration, and of a property capable of continuously sustaining the fundamental construct of the cosmos to such a degree of fidelity that the second law apparently has limited impact on it. The other order of power, in stark contrast, and perhaps ironically, is of a vastly inferior order, for it is extremely minimal in magnitude, highly limited in both supply and duration, and is fully susceptible to the full effects of the degradation from the law of decay. Here's why I said ironically. And unfortunately for us, with few exceptions, this inferior second form of power is the only one we have practical access to in our workaday, everyday world. Now, folks, as I began this message, I talked about the power of a perspective change, a paradigm shift, and how considering this intriguing paradox created one in me. Prior to my studying the atom, and really everything leading up to that, building the framework that we've talked about, I was pretty well used to the reality that I lived in, I'm sure just like you all, and figured that what was going on around me was just the way the world, quote, worked. Since I had never experienced anything else and had nothing to compare it to, I pretty much took it for granted that this pervasive weakness and decay, which universally envelops us, was just, well, normal, okay? However, once I became aware of these fundamentally different orders of power and began to carefully consider the implications of their existence, they made me start to question the facts of the reality I lived in ways I never had even thought of before. And folks, what I'm going to start talking about here is just the tip of the iceberg, okay? But for instance, to begin with, why should so much operational power exist in the cosmos and yet be virtually inaccessible to us in the practical operation of this world? Why are the forms of power we actually have access to so weak and feeble by comparison? For though we have, of late, mankind as of late, has developed a remarkable variety of energy resources, they are yet, in toto, a mere grain of sand on the beach, quote-unquote, in comparison. Okay? They're a drop in the bucket, but that doesn't do it just. They're a grain of sand on all the beaches, man, in comparison to the forces sustaining the universe. This is astounding, okay? We have already discussed the extraordinary level of atomic power operating in just 1 ounce of water back in message number 19. If we could somehow access it, that little bit of water could easily supply the normal energy needs of a single person for their entire life and do so abundantly, okay? The reality is there's virtually limitless power all around us, and yet it is inaccessible. We are unable to harness it. We can't access it, okay? It's locked up. And this is crazy. Folks, as I reflected on this reality, the more it dawned on me that we earthlings are truly paupers in regard to power, okay? All right? In light of how much power we now know exists in the universe, the reality is that we are living and surviving on an absurdly small fraction of it and are essentially existing in abject power poverty, if I can say it that way, okay? This is a strange and seemingly inconsistent reality. And I could sure launch off on some ad-lib comments right now, but again, this is a fairly long message and I want to try to stay to my notes, okay? All right. Furthermore, this limited energy we do have access to is not free. It costs us. It costs us to find it, to produce it, to transport it, to store it, and dispense it. And this applies to what even what we call renewable resources too, like sunlight, for instance. In fact, remember the four conditions we've referred to a number of times now, the four P's as we've referred to them, the parts, the power, the plans, and the process, which are the conditions required to overcome the second law, right? The second law of decay. Y'all remember that, okay? Or if you haven't you haven't heard about it, they're in the previous messages. You can check it out. But it is interesting to note that even with a seemingly continuous and, quote, free resource like sunlight, it still takes the application of the four P's, including, interestingly, another or a different power source to construct a device for capturing it. In other words, folks, sunlight, other than maybe providing light for us to see and warmth to keep the planet and for us to be living, raw sunlight, if it is not properly captured, is actually destructive. It actually magnifies the second law. And all we have to do is just reflect on anything we've left out in the sun for a long period of time and watch how it wrecks it, okay, whether it's our car or deck furniture or whatever. Sunlight, I mean, have you ever had pieces of furniture or your, let's say, your curtains in your house, sunlight's coming through the window, and it repeatedly does that, it'll actually deteriorate more rapidly whatever material structure that is. So sunlight in and of itself amplifies, magnifies the second law, and it can only be properly utilized if a device is properly constructed, be it a plant, proper structures, chloroplast, photosynthesis, or some sort of a structure like a photocell. And they must be built and constructed, and all four of those four components must be there. Okay, now that was a big ad lib, so let me get back to my notes here, okay? And let us remember that even once built, these structures that are once built for capturing it, they must also be maintained, particularly a man-made device. So in reality, not even sunlight is really free. This is part of the reason, folks, that this life requires a certain, oh my gosh, hang on. Okay, folks, I lost my notes there real quick, so I had to pause this recording. So let me start to say that again, okay? That's never happened before. But anyway, this is part of the reason that this life requires a certain and sometimes and excessive amount of continuous effort, work, and toil. And I was reflecting on this, even in regard to these audios. As much as I enjoy producing them, there's a sense of satisfaction in doing it. Sometimes I naturally wish they could write, produce, post, and broadcast themselves all by themselves, okay? So I wouldn't have to invest the time, energy, and effort to do it, okay? Everything is constantly running down, and therefore we need power and energy to recharge, maintain, and live. And in this current reality, power and energy are not free, so they must be worked for or paid for, or potentially both. It's like the old saying goes, folks, there's no such thing as a free lunch. But, gang, I used to occasionally dream about a potential reality where there were free lunches and virtually limitless power. Not just for some, but for everyone. I used to sometimes envision, gosh, what would it be like to have that, where no one had to work for power and energy and food and things didn't wear out? What would it be like? What would it be something like that, okay? And yet it seemed like that was all it was, a dream with no real basis in fact. And prior to these studies, I had consigned myself to the fact that this was just one of the many pervading inadequacies about this life that we have to deal with. For that's just the way it is, right? Again, our paradigm, all right? Or was it? Folks, what could the implications of this power paradox in light of all else we've learned about thus far in this journey, potentially be telling us about the reality or the potential realities in which we live? Now, I'll say this much, folks, that though it was far from fully focused at this point, the picture beginning to reveal itself to me, based on all I was learning, was and is astounding. And we will certainly talk a lot more about this, but before we do, I want to give you another example. But in deference to time, we are going to defer that example to part two of this message, which will be coming up shortly. We'll continue this discussion, and I think, and I trust, you will find this as fascinating as I do, and the implications, as I said, are amazing. Okay, so look forward to sharing that with you, gang. Enjoying this. Trust you are as well. Have an awesome day. We'll be talking to you soon. Okay, bye-bye.